Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the South Bay Show, Manhattan Beach Chamber 360, on July 31st, 2020. Live, love, laugh, and leave a legacy. This is what we do here in the South Bay of Los Angeles, and it's a beautiful place to do just that.
The South Bay Show is brought to you by the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce. The Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce has been serving the city of Manhattan Beach for over 60 years, and they are dedicated to promoting a strong local economy by supporting the community, providing valuable business connections, and representing business with government. The Chamber staff is focused on providing its membership with the tools and resources to help businesses grow and thrive within the community. Their goal is to continually support the individual efforts of business as they work to support the growth of the local economy. For more information on how the Manhattan Beach Chamber of Commerce is working with member businesses and the City of Manhattan Beach to support that growth, visit the website at manhattanbeachchamber.com or call 310-545-5313.
I'm your host, Joe Terry, and you can read all about our many adventures on Facebook at facebook.com/The South Bay Show. Persistence, passion, principle, and purpose. That's what we talk about here on The South Bay Show. Joining us as co-host, the president and CEO of the Manhattan Beach Chamber, Kelly Stroman. And of course, with us because of our great partnership with South Bay by Jackie.com, and executive producer of the South Bay Show, Jackie Balestra. Hey, Jackie, Kelly, how are you?
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Oh, my gosh. Jackie's feeling good this morning. Good morning. Happy sunny Friday. It is sun.
Yes.
The sun is out.
Yes, it is.
I understand where... Are we supposed to have a little heat wave or something the next couple of days?
Well, the rest of LA has been having a heat wave, which is why we've been so foggy and sucked in, because our water temperature had dropped. You know, that's what creates the fog at the beach, is when it's hot inland and our water temperature is a little cooler, it creates all that fog. And all it takes is a couple degrees for the water to heat up, which it's done. And I think inland has cooled down just a hair, so that perfect little combination, you know, makes for sun at the beach, and the beaches are open, the restaurants are open, the businesses are open, so the bike path is open, the strand is open, knock on wood, let's keep it that way, what a beautiful weekend we're going to have.
Right.
Well, you know, Kelly, I never leave the South Bay, so I have no idea how hot it is out there, you know, east of Hawthorne. I rarely leave the South Bay. There's no reason for me to, and that's all good. So, you know, listen, I just want to say something really quickly before you bring us up to date on chamber business. You all know that my weekend guide comes out first thing Thursday morning. You know, I work all day Wednesday on it, so. You know, most of the people that I've been working with, you know, for the last 100 years, they know to get me this information early in the week so it gets in the guide. Well, with all this upheaval, you know, I haven't been, you know, everything's a little mixed up right now. So it turns out that last night I ended up getting a whole bunch of new events that I was just able to post to the website late last night. So there's a lot of fun stuff happening this weekend, more than usual. So there's stuff in the weekend guide, but there's a lot more on the website. So check it out. South Bay by Jack.
You mean real
South
stuff?
Bay by Jack. Yep.
Real stuff?
Real
or
stuff,
virtual
yeah.
stuff?
Well, no. Well, there's some real stuff. You know, like Del Amo Mall is doing an outdoor market. They're going to be doing an outdoor market. They're starting it this weekend. It's going to be every weekend through the end of the summer. So things like that, you know, not massive events, but there's some fun stuff that I was just able to, you know, get posted last night and early this morning. So anyway,
So I have a question for Joe. Isn't virtual real? Cause isn't it called virtual reality?
It is. And we're all supposed to
on that one.
Believe it.
I'm calling it a virtual or in person. That's how I've been referring to it, like actual in person things. And yeah, so
let's just call it reality for right now. Reality for this week is.
So tell us about
some
real events going on in Manhattan Beach, Kelly.
What is happening in Manhattan Beach? Well, first of all, I do want to point out that all of our outdoor dining decks, you know, are up and pumping and busy, and most all of them are serving brunch on the weekends too. So don't think those outdoor dining decks that are so fun and so beautiful in Manhattan Beach are just for dinner. So come on down, you know, early in the morning, 10, 11 a.m. Most of those restaurants are starting to serve brunch in those beautiful outdoor decks. So very important to note. And I do, you know, I want to have a little conversation for a moment about what I observed last weekend. Took a little draw. I do leave the bubble occasionally. And when I leave you know, sometimes I'm on a mission to see how our neighboring towns, you know, on the west side and kind of to the north of us, what they're doing. And I do it all the time, just not all the time, but I do it, you know, several times a year just to check in and see what other little shopping and dining areas are doing and, you know, just to get out of the bubble a little bit. And so I did it in June right after the riots and all the protests, which I think I might have mentioned that on the show then. It was, you know, pretty shocking to see the devastation. A lot of businesses were still boarded up. Some were still obviously suffering from just the pandemic and lack of traffic. But then last weekend, I went and did it again. And I wanted to see, you know, how recovery is going, who else has outdoor dining. And it was very interesting. I'm going to jump to the punchline so everybody hears it. Then I'll repeat it at the end of my story. But Manhattan Beach and the South Bay look amazing comparatively. Mm. It is – I didn't know – you don't know what you're going to see, right? You're just going to, you know, drive and look and observe. And I, you know, went up to Abbot Kinney. I kind of start like Marie Del Rey. Then I hit Abbot Kinney and, you know, over to Maine, up through Santa Monica – I went up Montana Avenue into Brentwood, over to Westwood, Beverly Hills, and then down to Culver City. And, you know, everybody is starting or has little dining deck areas. It was Main Street in Santa Monica that had like the dining lanes, kind of like Riviera Village has done, where there's one continuous lane on kind of both sides. And then in Beverly Hills, they have Cannon Drive blocked off, and that's kind of their dining street. But I have to tell you, it was shocking. I mean, our dining decks are so dang cute in the South Bay. They're decorated. The restaurateurs have, like, just, you know, raised the standard big time and set the standard, I should say, and raised the bar. And there's just a buzz in Manhattan Beach and Hermosa and Redondo that I did not on Sunday in the other areas. It's a real mixed bag. Some of the dining areas are not fully occupied. They're not decorated. It's just real haphazard. There are a lot of vacancies and closures in the businesses. Westwood is a ghost town, and it's just so incredibly sad. There's blocks of vacancies, not, you know, here and there. And obviously they kind of have a double whammy between the pandemic and then, you know, with school being
college,
mostly virtual. Yeah. And Westwood has been hit hard for really the last 5 years kind of. But Beverly Hills, you know, was clean. Some areas were not clean either. It was really fascinating to me. But, you know, I just kept going, man, we look good. And then I came back down into Manhattan Beach and cruised through, and we were still pumping. As this was later in the afternoon, I kind of started, drove through in the morning, was pumping, you know, pumping when I came back. And, you know, it's wonderful to see that. I think there, again, it goes to the South Bay pride, kind of. We all have so much pride in our towns and our businesses in this area, and making such a gallant effort to, you know, keep our chins above water. And I know a lot of people still feel like they're hanging on by their fingernails, but man, do they look good hanging on by their fingernails. And it is, it's really profoundly different, and we look clean, we're safe. And so, you know, anybody looking for a different option, I just encourage you to come down for to Manhattan Beach and even Hermosa and Redondo and check it out, because we are doing a heck of a job. It is noticeable.
I read that in your newsletter. I think it was yesterday or the day before. I can't remember. I did read that. And other than breaking out in hives, listening to you drive so far out of the South Bay, other than that, you're right. We're vibrant. The South Bay is vibrant. I don't know if you've been to downtown Torrance, but they've got the whole outdoor thing going too. I feel like there's a dome over the South Bay. You know, it really is a bubble. It really, really is. And I, when I was reading that, I was like, you're right. You drive around. It's vibrant. It's vibrant. People are out. You know, it's still tough, but people are doing the best they can, and you can sense it. And I'm glad to hear that. I'm really glad to hear that.
Yeah, and the pride. They're not just putting tables and chairs on the sidewalks or the street. They're decorating them. They're making them look cute. They're putting their extra touches. And I can't tell. It's just wonderful. And, you know, we all love this area so much, but there is a remarkable difference. So I'll get off my soapbox, but it is significantly different to me. And if it wasn't, I would call it the way it is, you know, but it is. Mm-hmm. So very, very proud to continue to represent Manhattan Beach and obviously, you know, working with our partners in the neighboring cities too. So, and El Segundo for that matter. I kind of talked about Hermosa and Redondo, but El Segundo looks great and, you know, they're doing fun things too. So, all right, let's talk about a couple things that are happening. The Roundhouse Aquarium, our beloved Roundhouse Aquarium, that has been greatly impacted, you know, by not being open, closed, the pier, everything. They're doing a really fun virtual marine science series starting next Thursday. They're doing it for 3 weeks. So Thursday, August 6th. Thursday, August 13th, and then August 20th, all at 10 a.m. And it is a three-week series focusing on cephalopods, I can't say that, marine mammals and sharks. It's designed for grades 6 through 12, but of course I'm sure they would take others, depending, you know, on the aptitude. It is $20 per session or $50 for all three sessions. You will register online, then obviously get, you know, the link to tune in. But I just love our Roundhouse. It's so special. The people that work out there are wonderful. And I'm sure this will be really, really cool. So anybody out there, even if you're not a kid, adults can do it too. You can register on the Roundhouse series and on their website. $20 again, $50 for all three sessions, but kind of fun and different, and you know, to break up the day, to break up the morning. So
something
looking
to do.
Forward.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. And then just looking forward to next weekend, because it's important to clean out your closet and get ready. Get lots of sleep, get lots of rest, hydrate for the annual summer sidewalk sale in downtown Manhattan Beach. Shopping alert. You know, when they did it in the spring, they did it virtually because the stores were still shut down at that point. This one, I'm sure all the stores, you know, have their websites still pumping. You can certainly shop online, but you can shop in person. It's actually called the summer sale, technically, because not all stores will be on the sidewalk just for COVID-19 and staffing reasons, but there will be goods, you know, on sale in the stores, online, and there will be some stores taking advantage and moving it outside too. So that starts next Friday, but we all have to prepare now, right, Jackie? We have to get ready, take inventory, clean out.
Yes.
Yes. It's important for us girls. Yes. Men are welcome too.
Kelly. Right.
You know,
no
Kelly, would you send me that info and flyer later
today? I'd be happy to.
so I can get that up? Thank you. That would be great.
I would be happy to. So those are the big things happening to look forward to. I know Walk with Sally is in the midst of, selling their tickets for their virtual White Light, White Night coming up on August 22nd. Last night was actually, you have until 9 a.m. this morning to buy one of their little gift packages. The prices go up
party
at 9 a.m. So, yeah, anybody listening, shop before 9 a.m. Otherwise, you're going to be charged 20% more. But we can talk more about that, too. And I think you've either had Nick on or we'll have him on the other show, I think, too. He mentioned that. So they're in ticket sales mode. Oh my gosh. And do you know what this weekend would have been?
What?
It's
a test.
Would it have been the bicycle of a Tour de Pier?
Nope, that's in May. It would have been Six Man and Surf Fest. Oh my gosh, the first time ever in history that we've not had Six Man. I'm still hoping some people dress up and just walk through downtown Manhattan Beach with their fun outfits on. Part of the fun is seeing Six Man, the volleyball tournament on the beach has always been seen, the teams and how they dress up and everything. But at last, not happening this year because of the pandemic and all the Surf Fest activities, the peer-to-peers and all that, not happening. But can we all just, take a moment of, 2 seconds silence in honor of the Six Man and Surf Festival, darn it, not having it this year. But we'll be back better, bigger and better next year, right?
Right.
We hope. Okay. That is what I have for you this morning.
All right.
We're going to be saved.
Well, speaking of
saved by the Russians. The Russians have a vaccine. They developed it in record time, faster than anyone else on Earth, and they're approving it August 10th.
Okay, well, I'm just telling you right now, I ain't taking no stinking Russian vaccine, okay?
I ain't taking it either.
Let's get
to the show. I ain't taking it. I'm just saying. Yeah, I agree.
Let's get to our guest. He has so much fun history to share with us and beloved institution.
As Kelly says,
yes.
Who is our guest?
Okay, our guest this morning is Robert Koch, owner of Grunion's in Manhattan Beach. Now, Robert moved to Los Angeles from San Diego in 1994 after graduating from San Diego State University. He worked as a bartender while trying to make his way in the entertainment industry. He began working at Grunion's in 2001 and became the owner in 2010. Now, Grunion's has been a South Bay landmark since 1974, and this morning we'll learn the backstory of this treasured locals hangout and the role it's played in the community. Welcome to the program, Robert. Thank you for joining us this morning.
Great. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. It's great to see a landmark institution that's I'm going to presage this by saying that's doing well. Is that true? Are you doing well?
I'm doing okay. Like everyone else.
Okay.
I'm doing well. it's a funny thing because things keep changing and some days are really good and then some days are not so good, and you just hope that people will start feeling more comfortable and everyone's safe and everyone starts getting back into the routine of going out again.
Now, you could not possibly it seems like I keep saying things and then conclusions. Have you been able to keep your entire staff on during this pandemic?
No. So basically, the 19th of March, I had to, everyone went and got unemployment except for my kitchen staff. All my kitchen staff's been with me the whole time. So from March, which is they've been great, and they've had their shifts cut, and they've gone, instead of having two cooks on or three cooks, you go down to one, we just did what we had to do, and they've been, I just couldn't be happier with them. And, so I worked pretty much for the last few months kind of by myself. you know, right. doing the front of the house stuff with the cooks. And then now I have right. two employees that are back working for me. And when we opened us back up in June, I was able to hire more of the staff back on because we were back inside the restaurant, right? So I was able to, you know, I needed waitresses, bartenders, and this, that, and the other. So, but then when we got shut back down, it was kind of like, you know, mm-hmm. you don't want to pull everyone off unemployment because then they can't get unemployment. And then if we get shut back down, then what are they going to do, right? So right now it's just me and a couple of other employees and all my kitchen.
How do you come down, Robert, on the controversy about unemployment? I mean, you can see what your needs are, and your needs as Grunion's was a very, very popular destination. So your needs really represent the larger sort of economy. How do you see unemployment, and when do you want people to come back, and have people refused to come back? But you said you already have communicated with them and arranged it.
Right.
How does that work?
You know, I think, you know, people need to feed themselves, right? So they're going to need some kind of assistance if they can't work. You know, everybody liked working at Grunion's. Everyone had been there for a long time. I mean, we've had employees over the, you know, that've been there 30 years. So it's not like that they don't want to be there. So I get the unemployment part of it, you know, and everyone that I have, well, most of the people that were working for me, I think that the $600 a week is warranted, but I know there are, you know, there's other, you know, not just me, but other places where that's kind of a lot, you know, it kind of makes people not want to come back to work, I think, because why would you, you know, if you're just, let's say you're bussing tables or whatever, what's the incentive to come back to work if you're making the $600? I mean, it's a tough one. I don't have an answer for it.
We are, you know, so pleased and so thrilled, Jackie.
I'm sorry. I just want to ask Robert, and if Robert doesn't know this, maybe Kelly does, but Grunion's since 1974, what other places in Manhattan Beach have been around since 1974 other than Urkeley's? Any idea?
Shellback?
Shellback, yeah.
Robert? Yeah, Shellback.
Yeah, I'd say Shellback.
Local Yolk, maybe, and Sloop, maybe Sloopies and Local right. Yolk up on the North End, right?
Not sure.
Poncho. There's a few. Not a lot, Jackie. Definitely not a lot.
Right.
And, good, you know, gosh, I moved here in 99, but Robert, you've been here longer than... Well, yeah. So, I think.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I think that's probably it.
Yeah,
I've been
here since '84, and I'm trying seriously. I mean, I don't even know that Sloopies and the Local Yolk were around then. So.
Oh yeah.
So I'm gonna find out.
Yeah.
I'm gonna find
the,
out.
The,
yeah.
The Local Yolk has been here since the '70s. Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay.
Yeah. So there's a few of us still standing.
Robert has some really cool history of some of those characters that are now that own other places and how they intertwine and weave into the history of Grunion's too. It's kind of, you know, the restaurant crowd in the South Bay is very, you know, circular. A lot of them, you know, move between different places. So they've owned different places at different times too. So he's got some cool info for us.
Yeah.
Please tell.
Okay. Well, yeah, we all kind of know each other, and they all, you know, they've owned different places. Grunion started in '74 by Pat McCauley. He owned Grunion's, and he owned Critters, which is in Hermosa. It's called North End now. And the Grunion's,
right.
And it's always been my son's always like, you got to change that name, Dad. But it's, you know, it was named after dogs. You know, Grunion and Critter were the two dogs, right? So, he had and you know, it's part of the history of it. I love it. And I actually have a mirror in my in the restaurant with the original Grunion logo, which is his dog, and it says, you know, Grunion's in Upper Manhattan, which I thought was kind of funny. So he owned those two, and then his partner and him split, and they flipped a coin. Pat kept Grunion's, his partner took Critters, turned it to North End. And then, let's see, Pat ended up buying La Paz, sold Grunion's, and it turned, no, he probably bought La Paz, and then he ended up turning into Beaches. He held the note on Grunion's after he sold it, turned into Surf City for like a year. They defunct on the loan. He got it back, turned it back into Grunion's. And then Bob Beverly bought Grunion's from Pat, and Bob owns Shellback now, which he has for a long time. And then, let's see, Pat ended up recently selling Beaches, and now it's Strand House. And Kenny and Mike ended up buying Grunion's from Bob, and that's how I got into the picture.
I remember when the Strand House was Beaches. I remember that. It seems like a long time ago. Yeah.
Maybe it's been 10 years. I can't remember.
Badly, yeah, because that was, I've been here 21 years, and it was Beaches. I remember it was all kind of dark inside. Did you ever know, Rob, John Holliday, too? Because John was partners at Beaches at one point, and then he owned, I don't remember the name of it, but, yeah, the little cafe restaurant down on Hermosa Ave, as you, South Hermosa there, as you go towards Redondo. Yeah. The Holidays.
Yep, I knew him.
And, the Holidays, just for a little more history, this is just deviating a hair, but the Holidays, along with a couple of their good longtime guy friends that became family friends, started the pumpkin races years ago at their house in East Manhattan. So John Holliday and Kay Holliday are lovely people, but John was a partner I know in Beaches at one point too. So, okay, so I have a question. When Pat and the other business partner split and Pat got Grunion's and the other business partner got Critters, who got the dogs?
You know, I don't know, and I didn't even realize that those dogs were a couple until I got an email from an old regular from who knows how long ago, and she said, I think it was for our 45th anniversary. She emailed me and said, you know, I remember the dogs. They were so sweet. They had puppies, and there's this whole history about all these dogs that I thought was really funny. So I think those were Pat's dogs. And I think he kept it. I think he has the dogs. I have to ask him.
So one dog was named Grunion and one was named Critter. Is that what I heard you say? That's right.
Yeah.
Yep. Wow.
Exactly. And I don't know if Critters has a mirror. Like I guess they had two mirrors made. It was like their logos, and they had them in each bar. But I don't know if they still have theirs. That'd be interesting to find out if North End still has that mirror. Because I had just found the mirror when we were doing a little remodeling, and we had a bunch of signs and neons and all kinds of other stuff. So we were getting rid of all that. But I ended up finding this mirror. I'm like, this is unbelievable. This is a great mirror. What a cool find this is, you know. So I put it up, and people are always like, what is this dog with? It's like it's wearing a bonnet, and it's just you know, it's the 70s, man, I guess.
I love the 70s. The 70s. If you remember it, you weren't there, right?
I'm sorry, Jackie. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Kelly. No. You go ahead, Kelly.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I was just gonna say, Robert. We always love history on this show when we get at some of the older businesses, you know, that have been around and the business owners that have, you know, been a part of them. It's just so fun to hear about this. And when you first told me about, you kind of ran through that little history the first time we talked, you know, with Bob Beverly and everybody. I'm just like, oh my gosh, this is just such a rich story. Do you have, besides the mirror, do you have anything else, like any of the original menus or pricing? I'm always fascinated by value, like a beer was 25 cents or whatever, you know.
I do actually. It's funny because Grunion's has been there so long that, and the regulars, they're so true and loyal. I have people that come in and bring me all kinds of stuff. So I actually have a menu from 1974 that I have on our on one of our walls at Grunion's now that he had given me, and it has all the prices. It has, you know, some of the steak specials that we still have, like the prime rib special on Saturday night was, you know, was a thing, and we still have that. And, you know, ribs on Friday, we still have the ribs on Friday. So it's just kind of funny how it's, we've carried it all the way through, and the prices, they definitely have changed, but not that, not as much as you would think, honestly, you know, for a prime rib dinner. So, yeah, we, I have that. I have some, it was a, there's a, there was a guy that worked there, and he did a song, he, his name was Barry, and he was famous, for a song called, Hot 98.7. I think that was the name of the song. Anyway, he was, apparently he, you know, he made it big for a little while, and people are constantly ask about him. And I had a customer come in and give me one of his flyers from back in the day when he played out in Manhattan Beach. He's a local. And it was like, you know, he was like a kid, and he was like, it looked like he's something he did in high school. Like he drew on a piece of paper and was like a flyer, come meet me at the Roxy at, you know, 7 o'clock on Friday or whatever. And it just so turns out I found one of our other regulars works with Barry now. He works as like a camera operator. And I was able to give that flyer to this customer who ended up giving it back to Barry, you know, and that was about 2 years ago. So it's, this guy that brought the flyer in had this flyer in his, you know, for 30, 40 years. It was really, really kind of funny. It's funny how many people come back and ask for Barry. They're always like, oh, it's Hot 98.7. You got to listen to it. He was really famous, and he was a bartender at Grunion. And then he made it, and, you know, it's kind of funny.
I love it. I love it. Okay, you don't have to tell us what the prime rib special dinner costs now, but in 1974, I'm just curious. Do you know what was the price in 1974?
$5.95. I think Cokes were 25 cents. I'm trying to recall the menu. I have it on my website, but it's yeah, they're all, you know, the sandwich, you know, everything was like, you know, the Cokes were a quarter, coffee was like a quarter, I think, something like that. And,
oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Love
but the prime rib now is only $14.95, so it really hasn't changed that much, you know, consider it. But,
wow.
You know.
Wow,
you know,
that's a great deal.
It is. It really is a good deal.
Yeah, it's a fantastic deal. I got to ask you something. I just happened to notice something. It struck me, both Grunion's and Critters, which is now the North End, they have the most loyal clientele. It's like, I think both places are very much like Cheers. You know, you go in there and the bartenders know your name. You know all the other people in there.
Absolutely. Well, how
does that happen? How does that happen?
You know, it's just that kind of place. You could have a person that's never been there before. We get a lot of that across the street because we're across from the Residence Inn. So we used to get a lot of business people that were in, and they would, you come in one time and you feel like a regular right away because everybody that works there is very nice. Everybody that comes in there is very nice. And there's no, I've never had a problem. I've never had a fight. I've never had anything where it feels uncomfortable. It's just a really good vibe. And I think, you know, it just attracts that kind of a person where if you're a kind of a troublemaking kind of person that goes in there, I think you just get the vibe right away and you wouldn't think to come back. You know, I don't know what it is about the place. It's just, and I wouldn't be here talking to you right now if it wasn't for the first, because they kept me through this, you know, especially in the beginning with the takeout, you know, it's been rough, and they come in loyalty, keep ordering. I'm like, I don't know how you guys could eat this much Grunion's food, but thank you so much. You know, they just kept me going day after day, ordering from me. You know, we got your back. You know, we want you to survive. I said, I'm going to survive. You're not going to go down on my watch. Trust me. But, you know, and another thing is I haven't seen a lot of my regulars, you know, a lot of the older people that haven't been out that I would see. And I
right.
worry about them, you know, because you know, you don't have to come into Grunion's and have a drink. You can come in and have a meal. You can have a cup of coffee, glass of water. It doesn't matter. And a lot of people did that. They didn't come there to drink. They came to just see other people and get out of the house. And we have a lot of, like, older clientele. When I say older, I mean, like, older clientele that are, like, well into their 90s that come in there. And they're not drinking. They just get out of the house. So it's just a form of community. It's really an amazing thing. You know, And I don't know how you recreate that other than just having a place for that long, but it's just
right.
It just has a good feel, and they you know, but I miss them, you know, I miss those guys, and I pray that they're doing well, and I hope to see them, you know, whenever they feel like it's safe to come back out, you know.
Right.
Yeah, you know, Robert, it's funny because I, you know, I, well, before all this stuff started, I frequent many restaurants and bars.
Mm-hmm.
And there are, more often than not, I'll, you know, my husband and I will go to a little neighborhood place by our house for dinner. And I'll walk in and I'll be like, who are all these people? Where did they come from? Like, I
mm-hmm.
won't recognize anybody,
mm-hmm.
you know, which always throws me off. It throws me off. And I'm like, well, you know, where are all the people that are supposed to be here? You know, but it, as I said, in Grunion's and the North End, And we have friends over the years that have moved out of state, you know, or mm-hmm. elsewhere. And when they come back to town, they go to those places. They go to Grunion's and they go to Grinner's.
Absolutely. I get messages all the time on my Instagram. Or I can't wait to, you know, we're coming into town in December. You know, I can't wait for your chicken tenders or whatever. It's like, you know, it's just one of those places, you know, and that's, it makes me happy. You know, I really appreciate that. And I do appreciate the history of Grunion's and all the, you know, and I think another thing is, you know, when you go to places where you don't recognize, you know, I'm up on Sepulveda. So it's not like, you know, downtown is a destination, so you've got all the great restaurants and shops down there, and that's where a lot of people, you know, want to go. I'm kind of off the beaten path, so the people that come to my place, they, you know, they're coming just to go to Grunion, so that's why I think, and a lot of people probably just don't even see it. You kind of pass by it, because Sepulveda's, you know, it's such a fast, you know, fast-moving street, so you just kind of pass by it. You don't think to come in, but then once you do come in, people are like, I can't believe, I didn't know this was, it looks like a, I can't believe this place is here. I'm like, I know. Well, you know, well, welcome. Welcome.
Well, now you know why you've lasted so long. Joe, we need to do a station break. I'm not on my game this morning. I'm a little late.
We need to do a station break, and we will. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, for coming and listening. If you're joining us live, we do this every Thursday morning and Friday morning at 8 a.m. Welcome. And welcome to Hyper Local Media in the South Bay of Los Angeles. We call it the bubble, and it's wonderful for you to join us today. We hope you're going to have a wonderful experience hearing about the great history of Grunion's today. But we have that every show. Every show we talk about local business, local sports, local music, of course, local food. We're always talking about that. And Thursday mornings, it's the entire South Bay from El Segundo to Palos Verdes and east to Torrance, of course. And on Fridays, it's Manhattan Beach Chamber 360. And that's all of the best of the South Bay with a special emphasis on Manhattan Beach, the city, and the members of the Manhattan Beach Chamber. We're proudly sponsored by the Manhattan Beach Chamber on Fridays. So please join us on a regular basis. And if you can't join us at 8 a.m., you can join us through podcast. You can just join us through by, you know, your smart speaker and just say, you know, hey, Siri or Alexa or whatever smart speaker is closest to you. We're on all of the best podcast platforms. So thanks for joining us today. And Robert, you know, we're talking about history. I hate to mention it. I mean, I've got a lot of long-term friends that have been coming to Grunion's forever. And I hope he's never been in trouble. At least I know he's never started any fights. Larry Denlasky. I don't know. Do you know that name? Because Larry's been going to Grunion's.
You know what? I don't recognize the last name, but I don't know a lot of the last names, so I know a few Larrys, and all of them are really nice.
Good.
I've never had a problem
with
a Larry in there.
Good.
So now I can say, Larry, I mentioned your name, but you know,
tell him to come in and say hi, and I'll take care of Larry.
Okay, I sure will.
Go ahead.
Yes, Kelly.
Oh no, I was just going to say, a few minutes ago you were talking about your elderly, older, longtime mm-hmm. customers who you haven't seen
yep.
because of the pandemic
mm-hmm.
and they're probably not
uh-huh.
coming out. I have two thoughts. Do you have contacts with them at all, Robert? I mean, is there any way we could do a little Grunion's delivery day to a few of them just so they could, enjoy piece of their Grunion's history?
You know, I don't really have numbers for them. That's the thing. But I am
yeah.
trying to find out about them because a lot of customers are asking about certain people. And I'm like, you know what? I just pray, some are like living in assisted living places that would come and be like dial-a-ride
right.
over to have breakfast on the weekends. You know, we have,
right.
one of my favorite guys in the whole world was the thing about, a lot of the older people, they have a great history. Grunion has been around since 74. These guys have been around for
right.
a lot longer than that. And they have such a great history. And I think they, it's just, you hate to see it disappear without, I don't know. So yeah, I'm trying to find out how to get a hold of some of the people, but it's been hard because I don't have a lot of their phone numbers, I'll work on it and I'll get back to you on that and hope that would be great. To talk to them,
I would love to help with that. And I know I could probably get a few people from the senior center, who run it for the city, Jan
yeah.
Buick and Steve DeBate.
Yeah.
And even the police department goes and checks on a lot of these too. There's a lot of different initiatives around, helping
that
out
would
with
be
seniors.
Cool. That would be great.
I think it would be so much fun. It would be really cool. And,
I would love
there's
that.
No rush.
We
obviously.
Could give them a little Grunion's care package. We'll make them their favorite.
It would be so cute.
Drop it off. Yeah,
yeah.
That would be great.
Yeah.
I love that.
Okay. So then on the other part of that, and in that conversation, you said, people come have been coming to Grunion's for years. It's not just a bar; it's a restaurant. They can come in and just
right.
socialize, and all ages. They don't have to drink and everything. So
absolutely.
I was giggling to myself, and I know I shared this with you when we first spoke, but yes. And on the other end of the spectrum, younger people, not always 21, come into your place because you don't have to be 21 because you can't eat, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I was giggling to myself going, oh, yes, I'm sure my son, who loves Grunion's, knew that, yes, he didn't have to be 21 when he was going there whenever, when he was 18,
yeah.
19 years old. I we won't go into any more details, but he used to tell me.
Oh,
Kelly.
He
used to
tell
me.
There's
a punchline. But he'd be like, Mom, I'm like, what'd you do tonight? He's like, oh, we went to Grunion's for trivia night. And, in high school, and then as they return from college and they're home for whatever reasons, and now that group, most of them have graduated from college. They're now very legal, but mm-hmm. they love the trivia night. And what's so cool about
yeah.
that is you'd have, 18, 19, 20-year-olds, whatever,
mm-hmm.
playing trivia with the, 85-year-olds, right? And
exactly,
They used to flock to Grunion's for trivia night. So tell us about trivia night and if you're still doing it or anything.
Yeah, so now there's no trivia night there, obviously. But they're working, I just talked to them recently, they're working on an app so that when we do open back up, people can get together and then they can just use their phones to answer the questions instead of holding the pencil and paper and handing that back in, just to limit everyone's exposure. But what they do, it's called King Trivia, and what they do is they do a virtual trivia every, I think it's Sunday and Wednesday nights now. We used to do trivia on Tuesday nights. And what's funny, what a lot of my trivia people still do is they'll order food and they'll, for like a group of, let's say 20 people, and then they'll drop the food off at everyone's house and then they'll eat Grunion's and play trivia at home. Eating the food and trying to make it seem as if they're at Grunion's still, which is great. Which supports me, which is great, and they're having
wow.
a good time with it. Yeah, it's been fun.
Oh.
Like I said, I have the most loyal, the nicest. You have to come and going back to like younger people. I love when families go in there. I love when young kids go in. I sponsor the Manhattan Beach Little League. I like that atmosphere. I want it to be a family restaurant. I don't want it to be a dingy divey's bar. That's not me. I want to be around families and just just everybody, not just people that it's for everybody. I have we have all kinds of
mm-hmm.
food. You don't have to drink. I've redone a lot of the place already, and I had a lot of time to do that. I got some projects that
mm-hmm.
I've been wanting to do done during this pandemic, so that's a blessing. Also, you know, I have a huge, I'm blessed with a huge parking lot. So, you know, I have, I have picnic tables out there. I have like a beer truck. I have, you know, full service, and we have plenty of space. So my tables aren't even, they're probably 10 feet apart. They're not even 6 feet apart, which I have so much room, thankfully. And my landlord is just wonderful. And the city of Manhattan Beach for getting me a permit, you know, so it's totally safe. It's kid friendly, you know, it's family friendly. So yeah, if you have a chance to come. And I also want to thank, you know, Manhattan Beach Chamber. You know, I was not a member of the chamber, and I started following on Instagram. And then when you guys did the last program with Safety in the South Bay, I thought that was just really great. And I've been really trying to be overly safe with my restaurant. Like, even when we were open for that month, like I also am blessed with a big enough place where I can keep people at least 6 feet apart, no problem, you know, and sanitizer everywhere. And, you know, I was waiting for the health department to come. I'm like, come check me out. Like, I've been measuring. I want to do it the right way. I want to do it safely. I don't want people to say, oh, I got sick at Grunion. I mean, that's not, you know, and I have older clientele too. I don't want to get, you know, but that would be awful. You know, that would be devastating. So now that we're outside, I've got all, so anyway, I started following this, and then I said, you know what? So when I tried to get my permit, you know, I knew they were doing the permit downtown, and that was, and I applied for a permit, but my permit's different because I'm on private property. I didn't have to get the parking spots and all that. So I just kind of felt a little bit alone as to, I didn't know who to really reach out to get my permit. And then every day that goes by that I don't have a permit, where I can't do business, and now it's only takeout, but the takeout has fallen off dramatically because people are now able to go out and eat still. So now they're not thinking of just, you know, if it's just takeout only, then then my business is decent. But if it's people have a chance to go to other restaurants, you're probably just going to, you know, you live by the beach, you want to go look at the water, you know, you want to enjoy being outside. It's actually been great. I'm loving being outside because we got fresh air. This week was freezing cold, but normally we have a lot of sunshine, and it's been great. People are loving it. They're like, are you going to keep this forever? I said, I'll keep it as long as they'll let me keep it. You know, I love it. It'd be nice if they would do, you know, eventually open us back up to a certain capacity. Maybe it's 25% capacity, say, inside, so that goes down early. You know, I'm next to neighbors, so I have a house right next to me, and they're terrific, you know, but I'm also respectful. So my permit's still 10, but I usually shut it down about 8. You know, I close my kitchen at 8, and then we kind of wrap it up. On the weekends, it goes a little bit longer, but, you know, I'm not trying to, you know, people have homes right there. You have little children running around. They don't want to have a, you know, a bunch of loud people in the parking lot next to them. So I'm trying to make it work for everybody, you know, and so far it seems to be working pretty good. You know, more and more people are coming out that I haven't seen in a while, you know.
Yeah, you know, that's one of the things, Kelly, that I'm sure that you're going to be dealing with once the pandemic has cleared out enough that we can kind of get back to normal, is people are really enjoying eating outside. They are really enjoying it. And I foresee, you know, once you're allowed back inside, like, you know, most, maybe not full capacity or 80% capacity or something, there are going to be a lot of restaurants that want to continue to serve outside.
Absolutely.
People are just really enjoying it. Yeah. Yeah. So it's going to be interesting to see how that shakes out.
Definitely. And it's already, you know, a conversation. I think when all the outdoor dining initiatives started back in, May, June, we started talking about it and moving in that direction. You know, we were looking at, okay, we need this for 90 days to get through the summer and maybe the end of September because the weather's so beautiful. And that's when the restaurants were still able at first to do 50% and then 60%. It was before they were indoor dining was shut down again, and it was approved for 90 days under that premise. And then when the current, you know, indoor dining shutdown came again, then I think, and don't quote me on this, but I think it was extended I'm on the committee. I should know this. I can't remember. I have so many facts in my head these days. But I think we extended it a little bit, and then obviously it's probably going to have to be extended again because the pandemic is here for a while, and we're going to go up and down and through these surges. But long term, there is a conversation about that for sure. People are loving it. We, like Robert said so perfectly, we have to be respectful of our neighbors. And I love that you, Robert, you know, you're an amazing businessman, and you're so considerate, and to even, you know, be thinking ahead of that game is so important. And that's a big concern, particularly in downtown Manhattan Beach and the North End, because a lot of those restaurants are surrounded, you know, by a half a block or a couple, you know, 100 feet away, there's a home. And so the noise travels and carries. And then also when people leave a restaurant, when they're walking home or something, they're, you know, they're talking and making noise. So it's a big conversation, but it's an ongoing conversation. And I agree with you, Jackie. I hope, you know, we see a little more outdoor dining going down the road, but I think this has to be evaluated, and we all have to be good neighbors. You know, the neighbors need to be good to the businesses,
yeah,
and the businesses need to be good to the neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, the other thing is, I know that this was an issue in Riviera Village a while back when, who was it? A Rebel Republic had that outdoor dining patio. They took up a couple of parking spaces. I think it took up 3 parking spaces. And I have to tell you, the retailers were not happy.
Yes.
You know, the shops were not happy with it because they're taking parking spaces away from their clientele. And it was interesting. I was talking about this to somebody else, and they said, you know, people will park a couple of blocks away to go to a restaurant, but they're not going to park a couple of blocks away to go to a store. Now, I don't know how true that is, but apparently people, you know, as I said, somebody said that to me. And you would have the same issue in downtown Manhattan Beach, I imagine.
We have that's all part of the conversation. And, you know, right now there's nothing normal about anybody's traffic patterns, shopping patterns,
right,
dining patterns, or anything. And fortunately, too, I think Rebel Republic was a couple years ago. I remember all that, too. But, you know, with the surgence of Uber and Lyft and other means, even electric bicycles, right, you know,
mm-hmm,
people can travel to a meal, you know, a little differently. But, yes, it's a big concern of the retailers and then the hair salons when they were open. Because somebody, you know, doing their getting a hair, you know, they're at least an hour, if not
right,
2 or 3 hours. And we're also adapting by looking at shorter term parking in the downtown North End area to allow for like an hour, you know, or maybe more pickup, like 20 minute zones for those areas. But it's all part of the conversation, and I've said it before, and I'll say it again. It's all an ecosystem. So if the restaurants are healthy, the retail can be healthier. If the retail is healthy, it all kind of goes around. And there might be a few dominant parts or players to it, but they're all important, and we really got to keep it all, you know, healthy. And it's not easy. It's, you know, definitely a juggling act.
Balance. Balance. And,
yeah,
and you know, Robert, I wanted to ask you something else. So it was interesting because, all right, so let's see. So at first, the restaurants were shut down completely,
mm-hmm,
and you could only do takeout, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And back then, I'm trying to think, when was that? March, April? I don't even remember anymore. I can't keep track of time. But
it was.
The restaurants that had patios, existing patios, put up their partitions and stuff, outdoor partitions, and move the tables further apart. And then they opened up a little bit, and you were only allowed,
mm-hmm,
to have 25% of your regular capacity. And then I think it might have gone a little further, maybe 40% capacity. And then everything got shut down again. And it was then that all of the outdoor stuff really exploded. Because it was funny because my husband and I were driving through some, I can't even remember which area it was, and he was like, when did all this happen? You know? And what I said to him was, I said, you know, when it was first shut down, I think we were all, okay, we just need to do this for maybe a month or so, a few weeks, months or so, we'll get by it and we'll be open again. But then when,
mm-hmm,
they shut it down again, everybody,
yeah,
was like, okay, this is going to last a lot longer than we thought. And that's when all the construction and the cities jumped on board and made everything,
yep,
you know, a lot easier, made it easier to make these things happen. Where were you Was that your experience, or did you right away start using your parking lot, or did you wait until secondary shutdown? And how did you do it?
Well, in the beginning, for the first couple, 2.5 months, say, there was no indoor dining. And you weren't really – I don't think you were allowed to eat outside anywhere either. I don't have a patio, but I really don't think there had any – you couldn't – you know, it was just basically shut down, takeout only. And it started out really slow because people were really scared. And then people started saying, oh, you know, I've eaten at, you know, I've eaten this place one time. You know, it was okay. I'll keep trying it. So then it started opening up a bit for takeout. Then they opened us in June back up. And they gave us 60% capacity, which is great. I mean, 60%, that's good. You know, that's good. So 60% capacity, so we were able to do some business. So, you know, so June was good. Employees were coming back to work. We started, you know, then they shut us back down. And that's when it got really bad because, like, then the city was issuing permits for the downtown area to do the downtown dining. You know, I'm a little different because I'm up on Sepulveda. And I'm not part of the downtown. So when I applied at the end of June for a permit, and they were like, yeah, you don't. And I said, well, I know the deadline. I think the deadline was the end of June. And I said, well, I want to get my application in before the end of June. And they're like, oh, well, you're a different permit because you're on private property. So then that's when I started the process of getting my permit. And then it took me about a week to get the permit, and then I opened up. But I didn't open up anything prior to that. People were like, you know, you should just open up. I said, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to just open up and then, you know, somebody runs in front of a car and gets hit and whatever. I mean, that's not how it works. You just got to, you know, I just kind of play by the rules. I don't know if that's good or bad, but no. So I opened up like the second week of July. I've had the outdoor dining since then, and it's picking up. It's starting to get a little momentum. People are talking about it. You know, people are saying, oh, you know, you got to go check out. You know, so it's been good. It's been good, and hopefully it'll continue to be good.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. You know, that's what I love, Joe Kelly, about this show. It's like old hometown week every week on this show. You know, it's like even if you don't know the person. The guest we're having, you don't know them personally, you know somebody that knows them, or you know their place, or you've been in their business, and it's one big happy South Bay bubble. So listen, we just have a few minutes left, Robert. Give us whatever information you want to give out. Your hours, website, special menus, you know, anything you've got.
Yeah, sure, of course. So right now our business hours are we do about 11 to 8 for food. And then we usually shut down the parking lot by, you know, like I said, 8:30, 9. Really, that's kind of the latest. My website's grunionsportsbarandgrill.com. That's a mouthful. what else? Instagram. I'm on Instagram, GrunionsMB. Facebook, Grunion Sports Bar. Twitter, GrunionsMB. We do specials pretty much every night. We always do specials. We have so many regulars that they don't even look at the menu. They just look at the special board, and they're going to get something off the special board. So we're doing specials again. And then, like, tonight we'll have our rib special, of course. And usually that sells out by 7:30, so that's always a popular item. And we used to be open for breakfast on the weekends. We're not doing it this weekend. We're thinking about the following weekend. We'll start opening. So our hours will be next Saturday and Sunday. We'll open at 9 a.m. And we'll go from 9 a.m. to roughly 8 or 9 p.m. at night, depending on what's happening.
All right. Grunion, what's your address?
1501 North Sepulveda Boulevard. We're right across from the big old Toyota dealership.
And you enter from the back. I forget, Robert. You enter from the back side, or is there a driveway on the side there of the restaurant?
Actually, personally, I always enter from the back because the entrance on Sepulveda it's you know, you're on Sepulveda, it goes fast, and you got to kind of turn in. But there are two driveways to enter off of Sepulveda, and then there's also one in the back. But I just go in the back. Just go off Oak. You know, I think it's just easier. Mm-hmm. You want. I've never entered off of Sepulveda.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
All the action's happening in the back. All right, Joe, we got to wrap it up.
We got to wrap it up. Thank you so much, Robert, for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. It was fun.
Robert Koch, owner of Grunion's. Fantastic. Thank you, Jackie. Thank you, Kelly.
Always a pleasure, Joe.
Thank you. And Robert, thank you for taking time and being such a fabulous local business owner. You have set the standards.
Thank you.
And it is a testament to where we live and the place that we live that we have these local institutions that have been here. And then, Kelly, your experience about how well Manhattan Beach and the South Bay in general has opened up compared to other areas of the city that are struggling to open up. It's hard still, but we're going to get through this together. Thank you, everybody. Thank you for joining us. Have a fantastic weekend. Bye-bye.